guys! Today I'm here with Steph, or Steph93 on Reddit, and we are just going to record a conversation between us about destiny and fate and free will and that sort of thing. And we haven't really planned anything, so we're just going to go for it.
All right. Yeah. So these are all very vague topics, I think. So let's see if we can kind of cement it in more practical, easier to understand things. So let's start with a basic question with a complicated answer, probably.
Okay.
Do you believe in destiny?
I believe that maybe people have a limited amount of destinies, but not one destiny.
Okay. So you think there are like multiple paths?
Multiple paths, yeah.
But they are kind of set within that path. Like, kind of like how in a visual novel, you have these like forking roads in your life?
Not quite.
Kind of like that?
Almost more like, you know, it's like a spectrum, but it starts, instead of thinking of a spectrum as just a line, thinking of a spectrum as like part of a circle graph.
Okay.
Where you start in the middle and it goes out. And so there's like a lot of extreme, like the farthest left or the furthest right diagonal through that circle would be like the most extreme versions of your life. But then in the middle, there's kind of an infinite amount of possibilities.
Okay.
That all sort of relate back to that. But almost no one has a full circle. Like
right.
A full circle spectrum. And I think that it's sad that people's spectrums do vary in size, if that makes sense.
But that is a set thing, then.
How?
Right?
I think
or
that
can you influence that?
I think that you can, what you can influence is only that's what's within that spectrum.
Okay.
But like, there's kind of infinite spots in that spectrum.
Interesting. Okay, well, I think, like, why wouldn't it be, if it's possible, like, I'm not gonna say that I'm an Elon Musk or anything, but say he can do certain things, or he did certain things, why wouldn't it be possible, like, physically, for another person to be able to do that? Wherein lies the difference?
If they're born with no legs, one eye, and a vitamin D deficiency.
You should get out more.
And a vitamin D deficiency, and they are abandoned as soon as they're born because of that and thrown into a river.
Okay, well then they're dead. Probably.
Probably.
Okay, so that's kind of a fair limitation.
Yeah, they're one of those people who are, like, it's very sad that their spectrum is super, super limited. But technically, they do still have a spectrum of do they look this way or do they look that way?
Mm-hmm.
How loud do they cry in that river? I don't know if when you're a baby you can really choose, but that same idea.
All right. No, okay. I do see. I kind of see what you're saying. But I do believe that most people think their spectrum is smaller than that it actually is.
I agree.
I think we can all do a lot more than what we think we can do. Or
definitely.
Experience. Or, you know, things like that. Like, I like to travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mostly specifically so I can see other things, other normalcy, like normal lives, and see, like, because otherwise it gets very dangerous. You get very, very good idea of what life could be.
Yeah.
But that's only for you. And if you see other people, how they do things, and it doesn't have to be that you agree with it or you or that you like it. I think that's cool to see, but also I like to put myself in difficult situations.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have something that's more challenging than that's fun necessarily.
Right.
Definitely do have fun, but only fun is like kind of meaningless to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a hunger for some meaningful things. Like, I can't lead a life that's just fun or anything, or just like pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely need something more. And that also for me means that I want to find the limits of what is possible.
Right. Like, I think a good word for what you were talking about when it comes to why you like traveling and why you like seeing different places is like seeing the different meta narratives that people let live their life, right? So yeah. Like one meta narrative that I had when I was young was just, if you're a woman, you grow up, you go to school, you go to elementary school, high school, college, you marry a man, you have 2.5 kids on average, and then you live out the rest of your life as this happy, happy mom. And you can still be an independent woman, but that's very much like just a normal like meta narrative that I was taught, whereas people in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, maybe had a meta narrative taught to them that was more religion heavy, or you know, things like that. And whenever you travel, I think that you get exposed, you realize that these meta narratives are just narratives and they're not actual instructions. They're not really stories to live by. They're stories that you can live by, and then you'll be safe and happy. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're all evil, but I think maybe we're both people that get very happy whenever we feel a little bit fulfilled whenever we break the meta narrative a little bit ourselves.
Yeah.
Like for you, that means traveling a whole bunch. That in itself is kind of not something that everyone does, not something mm-hmm. that everyone wants to like spend their time and money on, but it feels so good.
Yeah.
It feels so good just to like get out of that shell a little bit. For me, like honestly, recording audio porn.
Yeah.
It's a great way to break that meta narrative.
Sure.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like the narratives tend to be more sort of limiting than freeing.
Right.
So, and it goes for like practical things of travel, for instance, but I also definitely apply it to the kinds of friendships and relationships that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be like, I like unconventional things.
Yeah.
And I like to break what is expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I very quickly want to talk about the things that people don't usually talk about.
Okay.
The more personal stuff or the experiences that we have. I try to find like a human experience,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And really explore that. And I feel like a lot of people don't do that in their routine, in their narrative, in their daily lives.
Right.
So I like to kind of break that.
Yeah, definitely.
And just help them see like, oh, there's something other you can think about or you could do.
Yeah. You can feel. One of my favorite things that I've done is neutral mask work in theater. It's a great way both as a performer to completely leave your own head and you have this mask on. And once you have that mask on, you can do anything. And not only can you do anything because you're not yourself, but you are a completely neutral character, which means that you have this this sense of curiosity and positivity about the world mm-hmm. that a lot of people don't have.
Yes.
And something even more fun than just being in an acting studio or a movement studio with other actors or by yourself doing neutral mask work is whenever you go out into the world in a neutral mask and wearing all black or something, some other neutral sort of clothing. And obviously you can't just do this. It kind of has to be like an event. You're kind of making an event out of it, but it's sort of like a form of performance art to go out and interact with people. You can't speak because you're in the mask, and masks don't have voices because they don't have language. Mm-hmm. They don't think like that. But just going out and handing people flowers if they're nice to you, or seeing a really cool looking rock and just thinking, I want to stand on that. And so you do it because nothing's stopping you. I've only done that like 2 times in my life, but both times it was so freeing. And it's also a great way to break that boundary with another person and get them to a place where they're feeling unexpectedly vulnerable. Like, for example, once I was on a college campus doing that, and someone let me take their crutches. they trusted me completely it's one of those things that, like, if I had just come up in my school bag and said, hi, I really like the way your crutches look. Can I just like take those and play with them? They would probably be like, no. They were sitting down, so it's not like they were using them. They were sitting down with a notebook open doing their homework. But in the neutral mask, I went up and I sat next to them and I just chilled with them for a while, not saying anything. They were a little bit confused about why I was there. And then because they never confronted me or told me to leave, I gave them a twig that I thought was very cute. And then they smiled at me, and then I put my hand, like, out, and they were like, I don't have anything. Or they didn't say that, but they kind of motioned,
they said you wanted money?
Or what? They didn't think I wanted money. They didn't know what I wanted. And so then I kind of pointed to the crutches, and I pointed at myself, and I indicated that that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And so they just said, okay, and they gave me their crutches. And then I walked away with them and came back about, and I like played with them a little bit. I like hit a tree with them and like made some leaves fall. I handed one to one of my other friends was doing the same sort of exercise. So I handed one of the crutches to them. Mm-hmm. And then we came back like 5 or 6 minutes later and gave the guy back his crutches and all was good in the world. But it's one of those, it breaks down walls. It definitely makes people trust you.
I mean, that's like a moment that that person will remember for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's definitely the highlight of their day. Because it's just so unexpected.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a good experience for this person, but
I mean,
it's definitely
smiling.
A memorable experience.
Yeah.
And this is probably like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just breaks through the autopilot to like, oh, I'm just sitting here doing my homework. And you get this really strange but wonderful experience that's just like presented to you. And I believe that we can actually create these kinds of moments. Instead of like, because you were actively like creating a thing in there, and he was like kind of just the recipient of it. But I really think we can create those kinds of moments ourselves as well. Like I recently read a book called The Power of Moments, and I mean it goes into a whole lot of stuff, and it is quite a profound thought, and it's kind of about how you could purposefully create these meaningful moments with people, and it goes into the applications of, well, of course, it talks about business and how why some businesses thrive on that and others do not,
right?
And about toilet use in like in Africa, because they didn't have toilets, and giving them toilets didn't solve the problem, so he created a moment where there was a glass of water, and he put a hair in it, and he told people. He pulled his own hair and put it in it, and then he gave it to the people and said, drink this, which they thought was disgusting, right? But eventually they learned on their own accord that the flies, I think he made the comparison of like, what's going to hold more, like they were defecating around the area near the river.
Right.
Yeah, so he was like making the point of what is going to hold more bacteria, my hair, on the hair on my head, or the fly that's going to sit there and is then going to fly to your food.
Yeah.
And then once that started to come in, they realized themselves that that was a thing. But it was very profound for them, but it was clearly like a created event.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, pretty interesting to kind of teach a lesson that way. Because, you know, the most powerful lessons that you learn in life are the ones you figure out yourself. It's not what people tell you. He also says, and that's just a quote that I really like, I think it's like... people are most comfortable when things are certain, but they feel most alive when they're not.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, this, that's in that uncertainty and doing what you may find uncomfortable really lies what I think the most is exhilarating stuff.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think a lot of what makes people afraid to go out of that zone is they think that uncomfortable leads to danger, and that uncomfortable always has to be a bad thing. And I think a lot of artists make that mistake too. I think there's a lot of art is suffering out there, the idea that you can only create good art if it kind of hurts to create it, and maybe it kind of hurts to be a recipient or to witness it. But uncertainty, all that it means is that you are stepping outside of that meta-narrative. And there's just as many positive things that you can do with that as there are negative things.
Sure.
For example, I like to think that that guy whose crutches I took, I like to think that he while feeling uncertain, did not feel afraid, mm-hmm. you know, because he was smiling and I didn't, you know, sit down next to him and just grab his crutches all of a sudden. That would have been bad. And maybe I think a lot of performance artists from like the what was that guy name who like shot everyone? He didn't shoot everyone. He like told his best friend to shoot him, and it was like a big performance art thing. It was Chris Burden. Like during Chris Burden's performance art days, all of his performance art, while being profound and touching and while pushing people into that place of uncertainty, it did it in such a sad, dark, scary way. And a lot of performance artists do that. But I think that it's a shame that a lot of experimentation that is more positive isn't as often accessed as art. Like, mm-hmm. it's not considered to be that. But I think that it definitely is. And all it takes is just pushing on that meta narrative, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a world of possibilities. Like, just wear socks that don't match one day and feel sure. how powerful that makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start doing that, like, imagine what would happen if, I don't know, if you paint your nails and you paint one of them a different color. Are your two hands a different color? That's really weird, but it makes you feel powerful because it's just like, I'm doing this active thing that it's a silly rule that all of our fingers have to be the same colors. People are following
it, but you don't have to.
Yeah, like there's so many little rules that we just follow because they're just like the thing to do. Like you pointed out to me earlier that the fact that I keep all of my vegetables and fruits in plastic bags in the and fridge.
Separated,
like all my apples are in one plastic bag. My mangoes are in another one.
Mm-hmm.
You
said that was a local thing or an American thing?
I think it's just an American thing.
Okay. I've never seen that kind of thing. Like, but you know, in travel, when you're traveling, you see a lot of these rules.
Yeah, and I've honestly never thought about that. And I think some of them I will still probably try to keep separate, just because I don't know. I can't wrap my head around like not keeping at least my vegetables and my fruits separated. But like, maybe I'll start with like my mangoes and my apples. I'll put them in the same bag. Okay. See how it feels.
Yeah.
See what that's like.
You know, keep this. Let's do the sweet fruits together and
sweet fruits together. Mm-hmm.
Baby steps. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like even something like for instance, the fact that we're right now sitting mm-hmm. in the same room.
Right.
Like that's a very unusual thing, I think.
Yeah.
Like it's very unexpected.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Like I'm not gonna go through the whole story, of course.
Yeah.
but you know, it's I don't think you hear it a lot that it's like, oh, you know someone from this weird from these subreddits, which is mm-hmm. already like, okay, you talk to them, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you go through the, because it's been a little over 3 years at this point mm-hmm. since we first spoke.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of changes. I mean, of course, there's the changes in the connection that you have, but also the changes personally within you and within me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think like, at least on my side, and I think it is for you too, like it's a choice for me to be here. It's not something that just happens. You know, you have to create the thing.
Yeah, we definitely made this happen.
Yeah.
It didn't just happen because of fate or destiny.
No, right.
But I do think that it was within that spectrum.
Yeah, sure.
And whereas, in the realm
of possibilities.
Yeah, whereas there are some other people who I don't think that it's in our spectrums of possibilities, our spectrum of destiny, our destiny spectrum. I like that. I'm going to keep using that term.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's within our destiny spectrum to ever meet in person. And then there are most people, I think it is possible, but there are some people who I have to recognize it's not going to happen. And that has as much to do with, or it could have as much to do with a lack of like actual resources to get from one place to another, but it's also just an attitude thing. Like, why would I ever visit that person?
You know? Well, sure. Yeah. But I mean, if that's there, if the will is there to meet up, then I think will the is resources big. Is like, it's especially in this day and age, the resources aren't that mm-hmm. difficult to come by.
Yeah,
I think it's very possible, but there are of course a lot of mindsets and conventions that you could have
mm-hmm.
that say this goes too far, or I don't want to do this.
Yeah, like if someone lived one town over from me, that's not too far to if I met them online, like, I mean, heck, we might accidentally like meet at a music festival or something like yeah. that. But even if it wasn't accidental, even if I just had known them for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, if I realized they lived 20 minutes away, heck yeah, I'd go and meet them and maybe try to record something like this with them if they liked that sort of thing. But then the farther away you get, the more there's that unwillingness to even try, because...
Yeah, but that's exactly why I want to try.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole point of it. Just mm-hmm. just for me to be like, oh, this is... It maybe seems odd to people. I think mm-hmm. if I would tell the whole thing to people, they wouldn't understand. I
feel. Yeah.
Or I'd have to use a lot of words to help them
understand. Yeah, I feel it. The same way, for sure.
Yeah. But I like that kind of about it, that it's so otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
That it is so unusual. And I do mean that not in a negative way. I mean it in a different from the norm, because I don't think the norm is always a good thing.
Right, right. I think I think that's a very positive version of that same mindset. And I've definitely struggled in my life with the negative side of that, which mm-hmm. sometimes looks positive from the outside. But I think I put too much on my plate sometimes, just because I want to challenge myself.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially this past spring, like, I learned my limits when it came to how many projects I can have going on at once. And the reason that I took all of it was in a way to just prove myself that I could. And I did. Honestly, this spring, like, I made really, really good grades and I got a whole bunch of work done, but it felt terrible on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know I'm never going to do that again. And I remember the very first time I realized that maybe this was a problem I had was eighth grade. I was in a geology class and we had to do, this isn't even geology, so I don't know why we were doing this, but we all had to do a report on a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of these big end of the semester projects. And most people chose hurricanes that were famous, like Hurricane Katrina or like the big tsunami that, where did it hit? Did it hit Thailand? Like a really long time ago, yeah, there was like that huge tsunami. Yeah, so people were choosing these big famous storms. And I chose, I think it was named San Calixto the something. It was a Roman numeral. And it was like a storm that hit in like the 1400s on this like barely settled area in the Caribbean islands. And there were like two accounts of it. Why did I do that to myself? First of all, it was so difficult to research. And the only reason I chose it was because I realized it was a really, really big storm that had pretty much been forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I'm really, I just want to dig this dead storm up and kind of make people honor it again for what it was.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, everyone had to make a poster for the project. And instead of just putting on the poster pictures and captions and decorations and normal things, I constructed a model of the hurricane where you could like drag this wooden block along the poster so that you could see how the hurricane spun and like hit different parts of different islands. And it was too much work for a 14-year-old. Like, I don't know why I did that. And I was crying and I was doing all this work late at night and I was still enjoying myself. I was like crying, but I loved what was happening. And my mom came in the room and she said, sometimes you need to learn how to take the path of least resistance sometimes, mm-hmm. because this has happened much too often. And I think that was the first time that I realized, oh, maybe that is a problem that I have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like to, I think I've mentioned before, but I like to look at experiences and especially challenges as going in two directions, which of course is a bit black and white, but it simplifies things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either going to be a good experience or it's going to be, I don't want to call it a negative experience, but it's going to lead to something, some positive emotions, or it's going to lead to insight
right.
as to what you can and cannot take,
mm-hmm.
or it's going to, you're going to learn something about yourself.
Right.
And that too is a choice for me. Like, it's very much an active thing, an active way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I've, you know, the past year or two have been very difficult, very challenging for some external factors. But that's, like, it's something that you would objectively call a horrible event.
Right.
And that really makes you, really puts you in a position where you have to make a choice. Because it's, like, you can choose to get, to give up and to let everything go.
Right.
But that doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just living a life that, one, you are not enjoying, and two, you're not bringing anything good to the people around you and to the world.
Yeah.
So that's, like you said before, it's the positivity is very much, it takes work.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's the more empowered response
to
whatever happens in your life.
Yeah, I think anyone who can break boundaries while also having that positivity is, gosh, they're a strong person.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to art, like, there are so many tortured artists, and I respect them. Sometimes I feel like a tortured artist. Like, there are definitely times in my life where I've indulged in that tortured feeling of in order to create something beautiful, it has to require sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is value in that, and it's, people can create amazing things from that, no doubt. But man, I have so much respect for artists who somehow are, like, never sad, and also, like, not even crazy, like,
mm-hmm.
really normal, happy, not normal in the sense of not breaking rules, normal in the sense of, like, never hurting themselves for their art.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
still thoroughly creative, still thoroughly rule breakers, but they never break dangerous rules or anything like that. People who just know how to be inspired and break conventions in a safe and happy way, like, gosh, I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to do it, but I respect it so much. I really like it when my art hurts me a little bit, though, I'll admit.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to lose that.
Yeah.
I like the sadness.
Yes. Yeah, so do I. I think it's a bit a part of just feeling alive, feeling something. I don't want to just feel the good.
Yeah.
The good emotions.
Yeah. That said, I do think, and this is like a side ramble, I think ASMR is a great form of positive performance art. And like, performance art, again, is so often like, I'm going to cry and I'm going to collect every tear that I cry in this entire year and put it in a cup, and then everyone can look at my cup of tears and performance art.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to ask my best friend to shoot me, performance art. Or I'm going to lay naked in the middle of a museum with a whole bunch of implements of either pain or pleasure around me and let bystanders do whatever they want to me, mm-hmm. performance art. All of that seems like it's almost designed to show something bad about humanity.
Yeah.
Whereas ASMR, even though it's not usually called performance art or considered performance art by most people, I think it's a great, I think it kind of is performance art, depending on the ASMR artist, depending on your experience as a viewer. And it's positive. You're trying to, you know, impart, like, positive feelings and be positive yourself while also being artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. That was just a side ramble.
Okay. No, but I think it makes sense that a lot of it is geared towards the negative of humanity.
Yeah.
If you know how negative experiences are coming in stronger than positive experiences. So
yeah.
If you lose $5, that's a worse event.
Yeah.
Or that's a more intense event than
finding
$5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that sense, our brains are kind of wired to look at the negative, to look and to fail. I mean, it makes sense, survival speaking, like in evolutionary speaking. But for mental health, that makes it a much more difficult process.
Yeah, and don't you want to just like tweak that wiring? Like, this is a more conventional form of performance art that I personally want to do, if only to show people that, or if only to open people's eyes to the fact that it's silly that all performance art is so negative and so sad. Mm-hmm. I just want to like find a group of 3 or 4 people, other people who have the same views as me, go into a museum, get in a massage train line, and just give each other back rubs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be A+ performance art. Just to show that we can create something impactful with a message about how positivity should be just as valued as negativity. If, yeah, you know, the performance artist next to us is giving themselves paper cuts while reciting Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that respect. I respect them.
Yes.
And wow, that would impact me. But doesn't it suck that that's what it takes?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does. We're so focused on the negative, it makes it such a difficult thing. It's like, mm-hmm, we have to learn to look at what is good.
Yeah.
And I think as kids, we naturally do that.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, you see people getting less and less curious, mm-hmm, less and less excited. And I think it's in part because as a kid, everything is new. Everything is such a new experience. And as an adult, you've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least you think you have, because, mm-hmm, you've seen all the regular, normal things.
Yeah.
So, you know, stay curious, I would say.
Stay curious.
Yeah. And,
stay hydrated.
And stay hydrated. That's a different thing. No, yeah. Sure, stay hydrated and look at the positives. Because otherwise you're just going to be looking at the negatives.
Yeah.
And that's no good.
I agree. I think that's a pretty good place to wrap it up. What about you?
I agree.
Stay positive, stay hydrated, stay curious, and just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.